straight up.
Blog Talk Radio.
What it is.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey. Let's go.
America, we are ready. Get party.
Talking sports with a 12 man in full effect.
The time yes, sir. Has come.
From the West Coast to the East Coast.
We are officially ready to start another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man, as JP likes to say, Hump Day, right?
Hump Day, Mike.
Hump Day, yeah.
And I love the fact that, again, JQ has decided to bring some Commodores into the fray, too. So we got you covered, man, from all aspects, if you will. So without further ado, let's check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling, man? How you doing, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Well, I can complain a little bit because we don't get a chance to see Ohio State whoop on Michigan this Saturday. But, outside of that, I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
We're doing good. Oh, I know. Jim Harbaugh was, doing flips, man. I know we were going – that was hilarious whenever I sent that. I saw that. And yet, still, them jokes are still negotiating, an extension. So that's insane, man. So – proof that you could be terrible
3 years
and still got a job, man. So Michigan got some serious issues, but we'll talk about that later. I'm sure you don't care about that, JQ, as much, man. But you love it, but I'm saying, it's like, come on, man. You want some at least some competitiveness in there a little bit. Come on, I'm just saying. In your heart of hearts, you know you want.
I'd rather run it up a little bit more, but you're right.
Oh, my.
At least the Big Ten letting y'all play in the championship game, man. So at least you got that in your back pocket.
You knew that was happening, bro. Money talks and you know it walks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let them play.
Yeah. We know Ohio State is clearly the best team in the Big Ten, so they weren't going to let that happen.
Oh,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
Even though JQ be what's the dude name? Nervous in the service every time they play.
Nervous in the service.
That voice that you hear is that other than Rob Ford. He is on fire.
We got too many players out. Man, we got too many players out. Like, man, come on, man. Y'all playing Wagner State.
Come on, man. It ain't Wagner State. Y'all need to play Wagner State.
State.
Y'all might get a win.
You're right. And you're right. I wish they were on our schedule. I should be the one acting like you. You got a good football team over there, and you act like you're playing Wagner State every week. Alabama. No, you act like you're playing Alabama every week.
And you got to treat Wagner State like the Alabama.
They're just too good. I don't know how we're going to even play on the field.
This is the one I'm really worried about.
Hey, man, y'all start the show and go ahead.
He's either eating asparagus or having some tea. What's up, Rob? How you doing this evening, man?
Hey, eating a few grapes right now, but earlier, man, chicken wings, some bell pepper dressing, and had to sprinkle in some asparagus, of course.
Yeah, of course, man. There it is. All right. Curtis and Kerry, what you got, man?
Kurt Curtis and I hung out all day today, chopped the shit, talked stories. He believed about half of my lives, too. It was great.
Actually,
you tell him so much, don't believe him yourself, Gary.
Actually,
what's
that? Actually, I let him beg tell me.
You tell him so much, you don't believe him yourself.
You're no shit. I let a bank tell me they weren't going to take my money. Can you believe that?
Wow.
A bank tried to tell me they weren't going to take my money. Had to get that fixed.
That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't
it? Yeah, it's mind-boggling. It blew my mind. I've never seen that before. You're not going to take my money.
This direction. You can send it my way, you know, Curtis. And I got
I've never heard that before.
That's really weird. Okay. Well, like I said, we will always accept you for who you are, for sure, man. So just remember that, as always. And we're going to finally let JQ in the chat. But we got Lou in as well, so we're going to definitely get Lou's thoughts on what's happening. We're going to talk about his favorite team, the Jets here, and how they fired Robert's favorite defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, you know, Bounty Gate, all that fun stuff, too. A lot of things have happened this week, too. But let's get this party started.
He come out with an all-out blitz in that situation.
Ignorant.
That was a dumb call.
Oh, man.
Well, got somebody fired.
They got somebody fired.
But that's always been his favorite play in his defensive playbook, though.
Yep.
All out blitz. They get him. Look at Lou.
But in that situation, what a horrible call.
Hey, man, if you get him, then it's not a bad call. If you get him. And you saw you didn't get him. So that's why.
The whole goal there is not to let him score. All you got to do is be in the prevent defense.
Well, like I said,
it got
that guy fired.
Hey, really?
And you know my least favorite team should have got a whole coaching staff fired this weekend. The whole coaching staff. If I was the owner of the Chargers, they would have been all gone Sunday night.
Wow.
Well, at least somebody got fired.
About that now.
You gotta give Belichick some credit. What are the Patriots? What, 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6? I may have lost track a little bit. One of the two. They either 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6.
You know, I'm not giving them no credit. But that coaching staff, the Patriots coaching staff, for me, would have got all of the Chargers coaches fired. Everyone of them.
Well, Lynn is on a hot seat, man, and you know you hate to see it, but he's definitely on a hot seat. That was a straight up ass whipping they took to me on the home field. I mean, 45-0. Oh my man, that was just. And if you look at the personnel, to me, I think Chargers got better personnel, and then you get your ass kicked 45-0. I mean, they got the pass rushers, they got defensive personnel.
That's a good old fashioned case of whip ass.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean,
monkey style.
Yep, monkey stomp. There we go. That's our new phrase.
Wow. Yeah. Can you imagine if I was a fan of the Chargers, and I'm a fan of Justin Herbert, and I bought a $200 ticket to go to that game? Do you know how? I would have stopped by the owner's box on my way out of there in the second quarter, and I would have probably had to get escorted out by security. I was, you know, hey, give me my money
in the
back.
Second quarter.
Yeah, give me my money. Give me my money back.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's in the second quarter.
It wasn't looking good from the start. Hey, let's talk about some games, though. So right out the gate, and this is interesting, too, because, you know, I think the Chiefs have flaws. You look at, obviously, the Steelers, you know, they have some flaws. And there's some teams that have some chinks in the armor. You know, the Saints look incredibly strong, as much as I hate to admit that. But there's some squads, too, we're kind of figured out, you know, as we kind of start wrapping up the season. So let's talk about some predictions as we go into Week 14. And right out the gate, we're going to talk about the Patriots at the Rams here. And there's always a team that has your kryptonite, that has your number. But in this instance here, you know, the Patriots, they just came off of that monkey stomp win versus the Chargers. So what do you think about this particular game? We have to go up against the Rams, if you will. We'll start with you, Rob.
Yeah, you know, the Patriots just played in L.A. on Sunday, so they were able to stay there all week. For tomorrow night's game. But you got to like the way the Rams are playing right now. Defensively, they're forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. They're playing tough. And I know the Patriots just monkey stuff the the Chargers. But I think it's going to be a really good Thursday night football game, right? I really think it's going to be real competitive. And but I think the Rams pull this one out. And I think it's going to be a good football game. I'm going to go 23-20 Rams in a tight one on tomorrow night.
You know, I went back and forth with this one because I can make a case for both of them. But what I saw Belichick do to Herbert, and Herbert, granted, is a rookie. But I keep telling you, and the Rams have a phenomenal defense, and Jalen Ramsey is locking down one side of the field. But I feel like Belichick is going to throw all kinds of crazy ridiculousness at Jared Goff and confuse the holy batshit out of him in this game tomorrow night. I think it's still going to be really close.
A few years ago.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And do they go back and look at that film? But, you know, Belichick is smart enough to also go back and look at that film and try to take a variation off what he did in that game to plan for their variations. So I think it's a really good close game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it also helps New England make the smart decision just to stay out there on the West Coast and not have to worry about flying back and forth. I just don't trust Jared Goff yet. Like, he has those games where he goes big and then the next one he goes home. And New England is playing good ball as well. I'm going to New England in a 24-21 victory over the Rams. I don't feel great about it because I don't like picking the Patriots. I just don't have any faith really in Jared Goff in a big spot. And now he's in the big spot on Thursday night against Bill Belichick. I think Bill Belichick comes up with something. And they've quietly gotten healthier again on the defensive side of the ball for New England. So I think they win that game.
I disagree.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that when Cam Newton, so you're saying that you have the faith in Cam Newton. Is that what you're saying? Over Jared Goff, and Jared Goff's offense versus Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would disagree with that.
Cam's been playing good the last
few
weeks.
Well,
one
yeah,
of them got
he,
an MVP,
yeah,
and the other one don't.
He's ran good the last few weeks. And just like what Curtis said today in some of our conversations, Cam Newton is still a hell of an athlete, but he's not a good quarterback. He just isn't. He never has been. He got MVP one year with his, you know, with his ability to run, and he's big and strong. But that's going to come to a screeching halt this week because he's going to try and do his little dive over the middle, and he's going to look like a slinky when Darnold gets a hold of him and knocks him on his ass. I think that the Rams win. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's probably going to be a 10-point Rams victory. Yeah, and I know I'm right, so you guys are wrong, so sorry. Go ahead, Coach.
Wow. Imagine that. You picked the Rams.
Last week.
I'm not a Rams fan.
Last week, I'm looking at that.
Seems like you are.
Your daddy is, yes, you are.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, what is Bill Belichick going to take away from the Chargers? Little did I know, he took away the whole damn team. And he took away the whole damn coaching team.
He took away the whole team in all three phases, too.
He took away everything on the Chargers. And it was horrible. Now...
Oh, gosh.
Jared Goff, a couple of weeks ago, had a come-to-Jesus meeting in that locker room for the Rams. And the Rams are looking at, they're close to winning this division. But they got to get busy to win this division. Because this division, there's three teams in one game of winning this division. But the Rams right now are on top, and they know it. Jared Goff
actually,
knows
it
he
looks
has
like
to step
between
up.
The Rams and the Seahawks right now. The Cardinals kind of falling apart. Cardinals are two games back now.
Well, don't count them out.
Healthy.
Yeah, don't count them out. Yeah, just when you want to count them out, they're going to mess up your world. And
he's still hurt, though. He's
because
hurt.
Of that, and because – Goff is going to step up. And Aaron Donald, I think Cam Newton might piss him off. And you don't want that. There are going to be three people to guard Aaron Donald, which means the rest of them are going to get on Cam. And Cam is not running too far on that team. He's just not. He's going to get popped, and he's going to get his butt kicked. But it's going to be a close game. But the Rams are eyeing this division. They are eyeing this division. They have to win this game. So they're going to win this game probably 28-21. That is what I'm thinking. And the Rams are winning this game.
All right.
So you're all on the Rams. Sorry, what Chris Berman for you.
Uh-huh. Well, Gary's surprised. But Gary is surprised because he tells me that ever since the Rams beat his New Orleans Saints, he has never picked a Ram again.
No.
Until today.
Rob, tomorrow the sky may be falling, I think. This is the first time. And I want to congratulate you. You had to eat a lot of crow, but it's there.
Me picking against the Rams has nothing to do with that. It's just in those particular moments,
I didn't
think they would win.
It
had nothing to do with that game.
Right, Lou.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, it did. You wouldn't have picked them every single time since.
I wouldn't pick them tomorrow night.
I agree with JQ that the fact that Bill Belichick he may have something surprising for Jared Goff. So again, that's up in the wild card too. Doesn't matter how great the defense plays, you know, Jared Goff can give away a couple of gifts too. So it's going to be a close game. I agree, but Jared Goff, yeah, I don't think he's quite yet there yet. So you know how he holds in the spotlight too.
The Patriots are playing as well as any team in the league right now, and they're probably still going to miss the playoffs because they're two games back from a wild card, and there's only four games left. So they're probably going to fall up short. But they're playing really good football right now. But the Rams are too. You got to give the Rams credit too. The Rams
are
playing, really good football as well. So it'll be interesting to see the matchup between McVay and Belichick. You know, there's McVay. You know, the Rams like to do a lot of misdirection stuff and do a lot of bootlegs to give the quarterback some more time in a pocket. So, you know, we'll see, their little mind game, head game matchup and see who comes out on top. I really think it's going to be a really good football game and a really close one. Looking forward to it, actually. Looking forward to watching it. But I just think that the Rams might find a way to squeak it out by a field goal.
Poor Gary, his face looks serious. Hey, gentlemen, let's talk about the next game. It's a trap. The Chiefs at the Dolphins, if you will. So what say you in this game? Look at you. Yeah, what, JQ? Go ahead, man. What you got?
You know, damn trap. The trap is going to be how Miami's going to try to stop Patrick Mahomes from hitting Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce for 400 yards in that game. That's the trap in this game. Listen, so I think somebody do it again. I think that Raiders game was a fluke. Miami, I don't know if they were looking ahead to Kansas City. You know, they beat Cincinnati, but it was just 19-7. You can't take – if you can't score more than 19 points against the Bengals, what you going to do against Kansas City? Come on, man. Patrick Mahomes is playing on another level. They're giving away touchdowns. We're like, you know what? We're just going to punt the ball. We didn't even go review to see if it's a touchdown, which it was, because we're still going to whoop your ass. Like, Kansas City is just playing on a whole other plane right now. Like, I can't pick against them right now. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. To me, he's the MVP right now. You can't double-team everybody. The defense is doing just enough to get on the ball back, and then, you know, if you kick a field goal, okay, kick a field goal. We're going to go right down the field in 4 minutes to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Kansas City. Yeah.
You know, Denver defensively, you know, played Kansas City really tough this past weekend. And I think Miami, Brian Flores is going to have, you know, a little something for him. But I agree with JQ, though. They just won't be able to score enough points to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins slows them down a little bit, similar to what the Broncos this week did. Brian Flores is a heck of a defensive coach, right? And the Dolphins are playing some really good defense. But they, offensively, they just will not be able to score with the Chiefs. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one. I'm going to go 24-17. I'm going to go with the Chiefs by 7 points, by a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But I do think they hang around in this football game. They play tough. But I think in the end, it'll be too much Patrick Mahomes.
I agree. Mahomes is too tough.
Nice.
I think Kansas City's going to walk all over him. I don't think it's going to be really very close in this one. He's just a video game guy. I mean, that looks like somebody's playing a video game with that guy because he's just so good. He throws the ball from so many different, just like what you were illustrating, JQ. You know, he throws it from the side. He throws it over the top. He throws it underhand. He pitches it, you know, with either hand. I mean, he's just he's a video game, a live action video game, and he's just way too good for really any defense. Because what you take away one thing that he does well, but then there's three or four other things that he also does well. And if you're going down and you're Kansas City scoring a touchdown, and every other, you know, possession your team's scoring 3 points, that's just not enough, and it's going to end up showing, you know, as a lopsided win again for Kansas City, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to be a one touchdown game. Wouldn't surprise me if it's a 17-point game.
What I want to say is when I watched the Jet debacle, I saw 13 seconds on that clock. Mm-hmm. Because before I saw that, I was wondering to myself, if you're playing Kansas City and you're playing close, how much time can you leave Patrick Mahomes? And after seeing what happened to the Jet thing, now I'm at, you better not leave Patrick Mahomes more than 3 seconds at the end of the game if you got to leave. Because he might beat you. Because I just saw the guy at Oakland do it, and I know Patrick Mahomes do it. And that's what I'm so scared of Kansas City about. You leave that man enough time, he's going down and they're getting in the end zone. So I guess maybe if you can leave that man 3 seconds, maybe he can't beat you. Maybe he can't beat you.
Still a second.
I think Miami's going to play as well as they can, but and they're going to hang around a while, and they're going to entertain us with a good football game. But when Kansas City wants to get in the end zone, there's nothing you can do about it. They're going down the field, and the Cheetah's running by everybody, and Kelsey's running through everybody. In the start. Game over.
There it is. There it is. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the next game here. We're moving right along here. You guys are doing fantastic. Let's talk about we're going to skip over this game, but let's talk about the Steelers and the Bills. So the Steelers take their first loss against the Washington football team. And the Bills, man, we've got to talk about Josh Allen. Is he elite now? So let's talk about this is that's turned to be a very interesting game. So I'll start with Curtis and Gary in the West Coast Field. They have about this. So go ahead, guys. What tell you about this one?
Well, that's a toss-up game for me. It really is. Huh, but As far as Josh Allen, is he elite? You know, he's definitely heading that way. He's having a great season. If it's elite for one season, elite for, you know, 8 games or whatever, then maybe this year he is elite. But to me, elite means more than just, you know, a stretch of 8 games. Elite means that you can be like you know, Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or some of those quarterbacks. Year after year, you know that quarterback's getting 5,000 yards, 35 TDs, and very few INTs. That's elite. I don't think he's there yet. I think he's trending in that way, but for me, he's not there yet. And I think it's going to be a good game. You know, I kind of think the Bills are going to win this game, though. But I think it's going to be a nail biter.
I don't know.
Well,
Pittsburgh's looking at revenge.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, interesting.
I've been listening. I've been listening to the coach. I've been listening to Pittsburgh's coach this whole week. He wasn't happy. He's not happy. And I think he's going to make some people refocus. and be unhappy also. And this is a team in their division. If Pittsburgh has any designs on them getting to the Super Bowl, this is a team that they got to wipe up. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to make a notice to the NFL that we are a team to reckon with, and we are a team that may be able to get in a Super Bowl. And Buffalo is a team that I don't think is going to be able to get in a Super Bowl. They're not getting through the playoffs. But Pittsburgh is a team that should be in that championship game. And their coach
not so fast, my friend. I tell you what, I'm going to go with the Bills in this game. And I know home field advantage, you know, I think it still matters, even with the no fans and, you know, the things of that nature. You know, they have a little bit, I think it still matters here in this realm. But I like Buffalo, and I tell you why. Pittsburgh running game is almost non-existent right now. And if you look at the last couple of weeks, even before losing this past week, they've been struggling to run the football with or without James Conner. And their offense, as good as their wide receivers are, as good as Ben Roethlisberger is, as good as their pass protection is, they're just not getting any traction in the running game. And I think it's going to be a really close football game, a really hard-hitting football game. I think Buffalo finds a way to win this one. I'm going to go 20-17 in a close one here. And, you know, like I said, and, you know, losing Bud Dupree on the defensive side of the football, I think they're still going to be a legit defensive team, Pittsburgh. But I think Buffalo wins this game at home. I really do. Pittsburgh, like I said, is really struggling for running the football, one-dimensional. Buffalo is able to tee off on passing downs here in this situation. And I think they can get some pressure on Ben here and maybe cause him into a mistake or three in this football game. So I'm going to go Buffalo to pull out a close one.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Josh Allen yet being elite. I'm with you, everything you said there, Gary. Elite means that I can count on you come hell or high water, and I can't make that statement yet about Josh Allen. He's looked really good this year in spots, you know, and he's been playing better, and he played really well the other day. But that Pittsburgh defense is still real ferocious. They still got T.J. Watt. They still got Hayden locking down one side of the field. You know, I put him on Diggs. I look at Buffalo and say, hey, I saw Moss fumble in that game and essentially get benched, and he got hurt. Singletary also got dinged in that game. So they want to play action pass off of them. You're not going to run the ball in Pittsburgh like that. It's just not going to happen. And I think you see that Pittsburgh defense with their brand of physicality come and hit Buffalo in the mouth again and again and again. I don't think it's a blowout by any means because I don't think that Pittsburgh, to your point, can run the ball enough to where they can really just kill you over the top of play action. But that wide receiver crew they got, even with Ebron dropping three passes a game, you talk about Claypool and Juju and Deontay Johnson, double who. And if you do, that's really the middle over for Ebron. You just hope he catches the ball that time. So they're going to keep themselves in a whole lot of close games. But I just think that Pittsburgh defense is real ferocious. They're going to give Josh Allen a whole lot to think about in that game. I can see them winning that game with something like 21-17 Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And I agree with the Josh Allen comments, too. I wouldn't put him in the elite category. He's just got to do it over a period of time. But I will say he's in the MVP conversation. He's in the top five. Matter of fact, I moved him up to number three for this season. I mean, I still have Mahomes number one. I have Aaron Rodgers two. But I have Josh Allen in the number three spot in the MVP for this season. But we can't, as you all have already said, you can't put him in the elite category because he just hasn't done it long enough, right? We still need to see more from him. We still need to see this Buffalo team winning his division year after year under his leadership, similar to what you saw the Patriots do with Tom Brady. But, yeah, we need to see more to put him in that elite category. But this season, he has been an outstanding quarterback for this team, and obviously looks like they're going to win the AFC East. I think they're one game ahead of the Dolphins, but, you know, you never know. Dolphins still can make a run here, but it looks like they are the favorites to win the division. But he's had an outstanding season. An outstanding game this past week against 49ers, too.
He went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't take that too hard on, you know, Steelers losing.
I think Maurice Pouncey was out too. I want to say for COVID as well too. So I definitely expected
he was
some stuff for them too. So, but still, you know, like you said, there are some concerns that
J.Q. and Gary are well Steelers' biggest fans.
Uh oh, there it is.
You could pick a team and not be their biggest fan, you bastard.
Yeah, habitual line stepper. I love it, man. Hey, Curtis, Gary, are you guys okay?
You know you got that
the,
black and
Ravens
yellow,
game?
Black and yellow, black and yellow. You know you got it in a – stop hiding it in that house, JQ.
Uh-huh. Sounds like a little whisper.
Are we really having this conversation? you know that's a non-starter.
Andre, what did you say?
That's a little Wiz Khalifa back, little black and yellow, believe it or not. So, yeah.
Yeah, a little Wayne. No, bro, we don't get down like that over
yeah,
here.
That's a, you know – my DJ side coming out. But, no, so I was going to say really quickly,
yeah.
Are you guys okay with what happened with the Ravens and the Cowboys guys? I know Hollywood Brown was tiptoeing, you know, on the sidelines. But are you guys okay
with
what happened? You know, I know. I'm just saying.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, the Cowboys can't stop any they've got the worst run defense. They can't stop anyone. They couldn't stop me. And I'm the slowest out here. So I'm totally fine with the outcome of the game. I'm only looking forward to the draft. I'm looking forward to their big loss coming up against.
See, they're going to beat the brakes off the Bengals. They're going to beat the brakes off the Bengals. Stop it.
No way.
Listen, let me tell you a little story since we're talking about this. Last year when the Bengals were ready to move on for Andy Dalton, They drafted a kid named Ryan Finley. They watched Andy Dalton stink for about half the season, three quarters of the season. They said, you know what, time to move on from Andy Dalton. Let's put the kid Ryan Finley in. Let's see what he can do. Played in two games. He was so bad, they said, you know what, maybe Andy Dalton ain't that bad. Put Andy Dalton back in the game and beat Ryan Finley. So if you think that Ryan Finley is getting ready to beat Andy Dalton, I don't care if they play in Cincinnati. I don't care if they play on the moon. Dallas with those weapons, without no Joe Burrow, they are finna beat the brakes off the Bengals. So you're going to get a victory, so you're going to slide down that draft spot a little bit. And while we're talking about it, Andy Dalton actually did not play terrible in that game. He moved that ball a lot better against that Ravens defense than I thought he was going to. He took two sacks in that whole game, and the interception was a tip. Like, I give him credit for that game. He kept the Ravens in that – he kept the Cowboys in that game. It was the Cowboys defense. I don't know where – The wolf hunter was going on that run by Lamar Jackson. He went 5 yards the opposite direction. Like, that was horrific run defense by the Dallas Cowboys against the Ravens.
Horrific.
That was super bad.
Yeah.
But so I'm not going to put that on Andy Dalton. I'm not going to. One time, you can tape record it.
Either.
I ain't going to put it on.
I won't either.
Yeah, but they're going to beat the brakes off the Bengals, bro. Come on.
But the Cowboys got me. You're going to be rooting for the Cowboys. I'm rooting for the Bengals. The Cowboys, for me, and that's my team, and that's America's team. But America's team is starting to get unwatchable. They are starting to get unwatchable. And it breaks my heart. But a lot of my thoughts go to what should the Cowboys do? And they're not going to do anything I want them to do. And they're not going to get bad. But in the cowboy world, Jerry Jones loves you. And Jerry Jones makes you family. And Jerry Jones overpays you. And what I'm saying there is sometimes it's nice to be loved. And sometimes you want to be in a family. And Jerry has that kind of heart, which doesn't match the business of being a championship football team. And I think that's the mix and the match of what's going on in Cowboy Land right now. And it's our reality. And good for the people that get to be Cowboys, because now they get to feel like family. And yay.
I'm rooting for the Bengals, by the way. But I'm a realist. They're going to get they're going to get monkey chomped.
Andy Dalton going to be motivated to beat them, right?
Oh, yeah. He's playing back in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton might go for 400 yards on that sorry-ass team. He's going to go
Yeah.
off.
What if they tie?
Bengals are done.
Zero to zero.
They're
going
to tie you.
They have no answer to Andy Cooper.
Andy Dalton's going to be Burrow.
Yeah. What if they tie 0-0?
That's unwatchable.
No, man. I would pick the Bengals. I would pick the Bengals if Joe Burrow was playing. But with Ryan Finley or Brandon Allen or Robert Ford playing quarterback, come on, man. They're not going to beat the Cowboys.
When Burrow went down, like, yeah, that was the end of that.
If this
Robert
Ford playing, it sucks. You'd be 16-0.
No, my God.
No.
On Madden, maybe.
I would go to the next one. The Ravens and the Browns, I don't care what, you know, that fool Baker does. I know the Ravens looked a little shaky, but that's also Lamar's first game back after being on COVID. The Browns just like to prove it to me every week. I'm just not going to pick them. I'm just going to be honest with you because I'm waiting on Bad Baker to show up because Bad Baker is coming. You know he's coming. He's going to get upset and do some wild shit and throw the game. That's happening. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. He didn't run. He ran down the field. He was like, that was hilarious, man. Like,
he's an idiot, man. They're going to light him up for that.
He was high stepping down the field. I was like, they about to get him.
Did you see that fool slide in the end zone with the pirouette?
Yeah. I was like, what is he doing?
0-0. Yeah, 0-0 is not going to be. The NFL will probably kick those people off the TV. Heidi will come on if they go 0-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
Brown's Christmas special. Yeah,
you gotta worry about that.
That
I'm about Charlie Brown.
Yeah, you know, Cleveland showed us a little something in the win over Tennessee this past week, but I kind of agree with JQ. We have yet to see them win a big game in a division yet, and that's beating Baltimore or beating Pittsburgh, right? And until we see it, you know, I know they've been playing much better than what Baltimore has been playing here of late. But to me, until we actually see it from Cleveland beating Baltimore, Pittsburgh, it's hard for me to pick them, right? Kevin Spinazzi has done a fabulous job with that team. You're starting to see Baker Mayfield make some type of progression. He's mixing in the running game really well. Getting Nick Chubb back has been a big help and boost to that ball club. Defensively, when you got Myles Garrett on the team and some other players, and the dude that got a song named after him on that defense, Taki Taki, and a linebacker. He's been playing good, too. I agree, it's still kind of hard to pick Cleveland in a game like this. You want to see them win these smash-mouth divisional games over the Ravens and the Steelers, and we just haven't seen it yet. So it'd be hard for me to pick over the Ravens in this one.
And the other piece of that is you saw the good Browns in the first half, then you saw the bad Browns in the second half.
You did.
They were
Tennessee came
killing
back.
Them in that game. And they let them get all the way back within a touchdown in that game. So, you can't do that, especially against the Ravens. The Titans, you know, I just don't know what to make of the Titans from week to week. But the Cleveland game, the best and the bad version of them in the same game. And that's why you can't take them. That's why I was like, I'm with you. Until I see them beat the bully in the division at least one time in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I can't take them. Nail on the head.
Well, I'm not going to take them either. And I was going to note the second half of that game. You know, but I have to give them credit because that was a big win for them. But I don't see two big wins like that in a row. And I think that this may be that game where maybe the other – and then Lamar, he had really just a preseason or a warm-up or a cross-your-fingers game with the Cowboys that didn't count. They knew they could do whatever they wanted in that game, and they did. So this is a great warm-up for him coming back now, and I think he's going to be – at his best, and if the Browns play any quarter like they played the second half of last week, they're not going to win the game. The Browns are coming up. A lot of people think they're going to make the playoffs.
But there's two bullies in their division. And they're not going to give the Browns any credit. You got to beat us up. You got to beat us up. And we don't think you can. We think we're tougher than you, Brown. We think we're better than you, Brown. And we're going to prove it. If you can't come with it, you're going to get your butt kicked. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Division game. Lamar wants to be the MVP again. It won't happen. But he's going to look like it against the Browns. And that defense is going to come and make Baker look like he doesn't know what he's doing.
All right. There it is. Hey, good call. That's how we wrap it up. Hey, we got about 20 minutes left in the show. Rob, I want you to definitely do the Vanish shout-outs because we got to talk about that. We appreciate you, again, posting on the Talking Sports, the 12th-man page. Rob posted the top 32 prospects have been updated. He's been doing that for the past couple weeks, so take a peek at that as well. And then, JQ, we are definitely going to talk about what's happening with Michigan and Ohio State and the fact that the Big Ten has looked at where to let you guys play. So I know you're in your Ohio State gear as well, but we want to talk about that. So we're going to get the Spanish chat out. We've got 20 minutes. And we do want to do a special chat out because Jalen Hurts is going to start versus the Eagles against the Saints. So we'll let Rob talk about that too. So go ahead and do the fancy shout out, Rob. And JQ, you can talk about Ohio State and Michigan. And the Big Ten. We'll get everyone's thoughts on Jalen Hurts actually starting against the Saints, if you will, too. So that's a lot, man. And, man, you talk about Wentz has been looking terrible. Yeah, one of those things.
All right, our fantasy shout outs here. League number one. The biggest win of the week, Lions King. That's KC from Atlanta at a 150.90 over Gurley's and Cups, 85.04. Lions King's also in first place at 10-3 as we move into the playoffs starting this week in league number one. League number two, Black and Gold Patrol. That's Sean in Atlanta. His team had the biggest win of the week. 167.60 to ATL Black Belt 95.52. Boxcar Willie 02, that's Mark in New Orleans. His team's in first place with a 10-3 record as we move into the playoffs for that week this coming, just for that league this coming week as well. League number three, my team had the biggest win of the week, Crazy Crew, with a 155.22 win over the Kings team, 88.38. JQ's team's in first place, Ohio Players, at 11-2, and got the first round bye this coming week in the playoffs in that league. League number four, biggest win of the week, Birds Flew South. That's Joe from Philadelphia. 106.32, the baby got backfield, 29.90. And my team holding out first place, Flash Forward at 10-3. And in this league, the playoffs will be starting the following week in week 15. Next Tuesday night for our fantasy basketball players, we're going to have the draft on next Tuesday night, which I believe is it the 15th? I believe it's the 15th on next Tuesday night. Yep. We'll be having that draft 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. For our friends in Albuquerque, that's going to be 5:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah, y'all got to stop doing Marshall like that. Good God Almighty. I'm glad that we've gotten the bye, but, you know, it gets real now. It's when to go home. But to talk about, you know, the Ohio State of Michigan, and living here in Atlanta, I catch a whole lot of flack. Y'all only played 5 games, yada, yada, yada. Listen. COVID is crazy. The Big Ten effed Ohio State when they decided to have the season, then cancel it, and then bring it back. But you are out of your cotton-picking mind if you thought that the Big Ten was going to keep Ohio State out of the Big Ten title game because they didn't make it by one game. That was never happening. You're not going to keep your best shot at bringing a title back home to your conference over one game. Even if you had to schedule a 6 game and they had miraculously lost against Purdue or whoever, they still would have made the Big Ten title game because they've got the tiebreaker over Indiana. I know, I get it. What you want me to do? It's 2020. You know, when you push the season back and you have no cushion to make up games in the middle of a pandemic, then you're not going to play as many games as people that started them up before you. It was just the way the numbers work. So they should have started earlier. And they put a season out, they put a schedule out, and they came out 4 days later and canceled it, and then brought the season back about like 6 weeks later. That was on the Big Ten. They've done a terrible job of managing this season from start to finish. And there's nothing you can say about that. But Ohio State is now taking the brunt of it because now it's you're making special rules for them. They only got five games on the belt. But when you watch them play in Justin Fields and that offense, defense can be better.
Yeah.
But who outside of Alabama, who has an airtight case? You can look at Alabama and say Alabama's the best team in the country. They should be the number one seed. Nobody argues with you. Everybody else, if you want to be honest, who has Clemson beat? They beat nobody. The one game they had, they didn't have Trevor Lawrence, and give them the benefit of the doubt, and they lost to Notre Dame. They haven't beat a soul, and they ranked third. So, I mean, you can make arguments against other teams not being there. The only team you can't argue against is Alabama. That's it. Everybody else is got holes in their resume, to me, for sure. So it's a way to break up the ACC-SEC challenge that they have happening, that everybody else clearly wants to have happening based on the number of games that have been played. But you, come on, man. The only way Ohio State doesn't make it is one if they lose to Northwestern. But if they beat Northwestern, the doomsday scenario for Ohio State is if Florida beats Alabama, because then both of them get in. And then that scenario, I don't think Ohio State makes it. That's all right.
I want as many teams in there that's got a shot at beating Alabama. So I'm all for Ohio State getting in there. I want to have
I want to have
the best team to have a chance to beat the Gumps.
I want to ask you guys because you guys live out of the East. Because all of us guys in the West, we're thinking, where the hell is Coastal Carolina?
I knew you were going to say that.
Coastal Carolina? What's on the Carolina coast? What happened?
Hey,
that sounds like Panera Bread. What city is that in?
That's
funny. Who was that school?
All right.
What happened?
Hey,
great game
against
BYU.
Carolina.
They did
great game against BYU.
They did beat BYU.
What city is that in?
And they got players that are
I'm about
like,
to find out for
you.
I know when I think Coastal Carolina, I think Wilmington, North Carolina. But actually, the school is in Conway, South Carolina, actually.
What?
Nowhere.
Conway,
they got a whole bunch
of
three-star dudes. They got a whole bunch of three-star dudes that didn't make it to the ACC and the SEC because they were three stars, and they took them all over there and said, a couple of y'all going to hit and be more like four stars because, but you was a three-star coming out of high school, but you
Yeah. And you can win with those kind of players. You got to redshirt them for a year. You got to develop them. You got to coach them. You got to get them in a weight room. And that's how you win with those three-star recruits. You got to redshirt, you know. And the schools like Alabama's and the USC's, not LSU this year, but Ohio State, they get the five-star players and they come in and play right away, right? But you know, those schools, they need to have the development program to redshirt them, get them in the weight room, coach them, develop them. And you got to be a good talent evaluator, right? You got to try to find some diamonds in the rough, right? You know, and that's what you got to do to be successful. Yep. And even Oregon, you know, you look at a program, you know, like Oregon that's been successful here the last 10, 15 years for the most part. They're not getting all the five-star recruits. They're getting a few. They're getting some fours. But they're getting a lot of threes. And they're convincing to come up there and they're developing. But their program is in the Pac-12, so they are going to get their share of some five and fours, too.
Yeah, but they get those three stars from Cali and say, can I, you know, if I get 15 of y'all, if I get two of y'all to play above your pay grade, then it pushes us up. So that's where Coastal Carolina's done. I didn't even have. This is just a crazy year. BYU, freaking Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina. Like, what is 2020 going through? It's wild. But that Coastal Carolina BYU game was a fantastic game, though, real quiet. Like, it might have been the game.
That's a cool looking football field, too.
Yeah. Chanticleers.
Yeah.
I don't know how you name your damn team, the Chanticleers, but that's a whole other conversation.
I know. I'm like, what? Chandeliers?
Chanticleers. It's crazy.
I know. Hey, Justin Jefferson was a three-star
recruit. I was sitting here with my mouth open, trying to figure out, because I got BYU. They ducked Washington, And I guess they must have thought they probably never heard of Coastal Carolina either. Oh, this ought to be easy.
Looking for some schedule, yeah.
But you got to give a lot of credit.
BYU
looked
slow in that football
thing.
Game, too. If you really watched it, yeah. BYU yeah. looked really slow in that football game.
But they also had, you talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
finding the player team, get them a ton
yeah,
of credit
right. yep.
to go play Coastal Carolina in Carolina on Wednesday. You see the story about the moving truck that took
yep.
all the stuff over there and what they went through just to get it from all the way across country. I give BYU a ton of credit for taking a really
yep.
tough game on the road on short notice and losing by, what, 2 yards
yeah.
on that Hail Mary at the end. So I don't want to kick too much dirt on them. They should get a lot of credit for taking that game on short notice.
It's hard to get from Salt Lake City to Conway, South Carolina.
right. from Wednesday to a Saturday game?
Yeah.
That's tough.
You got to stop
yeah.
somewhere, what, Columbia and drive there or Charleston or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
yeah, that's wild.
All right. We're making progress. I do want to talk about, before we talk about Jalen Hurts, I do want to talk about the, this is for us that are not having a good season. The top NFL GM candidates, Rob.
All right. Yeah, I had some notes. And, you know, speaking of the Falcons, actually, they trying to go into the rivals' backyard, huh? Yeah. So Terry Fontenot is actually a leading candidate to become a GM. He's the Saints Vice President, Assistant General Manager for Pro Personnel.
Wow.
You know, he's been with the Saints for about 16 years, and now
That'd
he's a leading
good.
Candidate to be a General Manager. And I hear the Falcons are interviewing him as well. So they're coming in our backyard. But, you know,
wow.
can't blame the guy for trying to get promoted, right? You know, I mean, the Saints got Mickey Loomers and what's the other guy named? Jeff Ireland. You know, running the football operation. So, and this is a guy that's kind of assistant to them. And so, I mean, you know, you can only keep your talent for so long, right? So, I mean, obviously, I know.
I'm not giving you no permission to talk to him if I'm the Saints. Nope, you can't talk to him. No, you can't. Nope. No. Why would you let that happen?
Aaron Glenn, who is the defensive back coach, yeah, obviously, you all remember him, played with the Jets in the NFL for quite some time. He's a defensive mm-hmm. back coach for the Saints, and he had an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator, and the Saints blocked it, and they gave him a raise and paid him like a coordinator.
that's yeah. what I would do. There's no way. Not to the Falcons, but to the Saints. No, that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
yeah.
Are you?
I agree. But, yeah, he's obviously.
I just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I would understand it if it was vice versa. I would say the same thing.
It goes back
yeah.
and forth. Herbert went back and forth.
Not
Michael
your
went back and forth. It is, but if they go back and forth all the time, it don't matter. I'm just saying.
Listen, it's got nothing to do with Saints love. I'm just
you.
Saying, from anybody's perspective, why would you let somebody that's so intricate in what you do draft-wise, personnel-wise,
true.
Your philosophy
true,
on the team,
true.
Why would you let them take that philosophy to your arch rival? Like, no, you can't talk
I'm
to them.
That.
You want to go talk to them with somebody on the West Coast? Knock
yeah.
yourself out, but would you not go to the
Falcons? I agree. Better let them go to the AFC. I agree with that, JQ. Yep. Go to
that,
the Chargers.
Saying,
go to a whole different conference. You don't even want them
shit.
In your conference.
I don't want them. I don't want them talking shit with the Saints fans. Like, yeah, it's had to take a Saints person to make y'all better. That's what I'm worried about too. Some shit like that.
Who cares what
about.
They say? The guy's got a lot of knowledge. He's done it for 16 years.
I know.
If
yeah.
you had a shot of getting him, you get him.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
We're trying to give the we're trying to give the Giants our defensive coordinator.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's all
yeah.
the same if you look at it, by the way. But I'm just saying, this is I can just see something like
yeah.
that popping up, you know. But yeah, if you make the Saints weaker, I'm actually kind of for it, man. So you know, but you know, I can see the other side of that too.
That,
so you know,
yeah,
that's wild.
Fontenot's
going to
be a
lead
candidate. You know, obviously, I agree. You don't want him to go to the arch rival in your division. You let him go to a whole other conference if he does leave. And but he's going to be a hot candidate. Glenn Cook. The Browns vice president of player personnel, too, is going to be a high commodity this offseason as well. Ed Dobbs, he's the Colts assistant general manager. He's been doing a phenomenal job here over the last couple of years. He's been with the Colts for the last 10 years as well. So he's going to be a high candidate. Nick Cassiero for the Patriots. You know, he's the director of player personnel for them as well. He's going to be a guy that's going to be ready to
no
take that
Patriots.
Next step. And also – Mike Borgonzi, he's the Chiefs Director of Football Operations, too. So these are all going to be some hot candidates for some general manager positions here this offseason, too. So it's going to be real intriguing.
I heard about that dude also that's in the Monday Night booth that the Falcons were looking at, too. The black
Redick,
dude. His name is
Lewis Redick. Redick, yeah.
Lewis Redick, yeah. I heard he was in the running also be the GM for the Falcons.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, too. You know, there's some talk of teams similar to Mike Mayock, getting him to come in and be a general manager. He used to be an NFL scout for quite some time, Daniel Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a guy that will be a candidate, too.
Hey, quick question. If Fontenot is the guy, who do you think you'd go for the coach? Because they're letting the Falcons out with GM pick the head coach. Who do you think he would get for the coach, actually? Dennis Allen?
He probably would try to steal somebody from the Saints. Like defensive coordinator Dennis Allen. Also Ryan Nielsen, defensive line coach for the Saints. I think the Saints got about three guys on the staff this year. Dan Campbell, the tight end assistant head coach. They're going to have three guys that's going to be candidates for head coaching positions, too.
Joe Brady. He knows Joe Brady as well. I was trying to steal him from Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like Mike McDaniel from the 49ers. That's just me. He's really good at the run game, but that's just me. So, but good call. Good call, guys. Okay. We got about a couple minutes here before we get ready to hit the top of the hour here. I know we want to talk about Jalen Hurts. I want Curtis and Gary to talk about that as well. And, Lou, you can put your thoughts in, too, as well, because he is going to start. And I want Rob to kind of end up to wrap it up, too, because he's going to start against your Saints on Sunday. But what say you about that, Curtis, Gary, about Jalen Hurts getting that start, if you will, for your loved Eagles, if you will?
I don't think it's about Jalen Hurts. I think it's about Carson Wentz. And everybody's lost faith in Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz has probably lost faith in himself.
Wow.
And it's terrible. But what you did see when Jalen Hurts got in, the team kind of lifted itself up a bit. And the team was kind of excited about it. I think Carson Wentz is bringing that whole team down and bringing that whole coaching staff down.
So sad.
And, yeah, it is. Mm. So Jalen Hurts is just a shot of energy, a little drug bug. And he's going to have to prove it. He's got three of his peers. He's got Tua. Well, Joe's hurt, and he's got the boy in at the Chargers. So he wants to look as least as capable as all three of those look. He has to look as least as capable as all three of those.
Well, I don't think it's so sad. I think the writing has been on the wall for a while with Carson Wentz. He's just one of those guys, apparently, and I'm sorry, it is sad.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm fine. I'm back now.
He has to walk over a Nick Foles statue. On his way to work.
You know what? You guys heard Curtis. I love this conversation. You guys heard Curtis and I arguing about Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. And I always picked Dak Prescott, and Curtis always had this infatuation with this guy with his fragile little ego, and it's just so sad for Curtis. But it's not for me.
It's not sad.
It's not.
Hey.
I think it's fantastic.
And
I think
it's
all
Carson,
that money.
It's Carson Wentz, but I'll finish my comment when we get to the OT portion. But ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to end our live portion of the show on tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're here trying to keep the rest of these fellas out of trouble here tonight. But thank you all for tuning in. We had a fun time again. Thank you all. We'll be back next Wednesday night, people, online. Next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for those of you all in Santa Barbara, California. You don't want to miss us on Wednesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. We can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link tomorrow while you're driving in the car, sitting at home, eating your asparagus. Make sure you tune in and listen to our OT portion of the show. Good night, people.
All I know is now to be 3,500 some odd days since Michigan has beaten Ohio State. Let's go. I'll take it, even in the cancellation. Hey, y'all. Appreciate y'all for listening to the show. We love y'all. We'll talk to you next week. Later.
And getting back to the Carson Wentz piece here. You know, and I don't know if you all remember this. Maybe Gary remembers this as a Yankees fan, though. JQ was a baseball fan. But, you know, I don't know if y'all remember Chuck Knobloch. He got off to a heck of a start in his career, and all of a sudden he couldn't throw the ball at first base, right? And it was just the weirdest thing ever. He was always hesitant, and it was just a mind thing. And it seems like Carson Wentz is going through the same thing. It just seemed like it's a mind thing, and his game has just regressed. And it's just so weird really watching it, right? But, you know, Philly has to see what they have in Jalen Hurts. I mean, they're falling probably out of it. It looked like it's going to be a two-team race in the NFC between the football team and the Giants at this point. And both of them are playing really good defense right now, too. So, yeah, it's really Chase Young. Got to give it to you, Ohio State, playing outstanding. I know we got top five rookies. I got Chase Young in that top five. But anyway, they have to see what they have in Jalen Hurts, right? They spent a second-round draft pick on him. They got four games to do a real evaluation of him here in the rest of this season. And you want to see what you have in him. Can he be the guy of the future for this team? Or do you need to go out and look for a quarterback here this offseason? So I think you have to give – you owe that self. You spent the second-round draft pick on him. Can he be a starting quarterback in the National Football League? And we'll see. Obviously, a tough test going against the Saints defense, but it's going to be obviously the Saints don't have a whole lot of film to work with. But I still think, you might have a successful drive or two early in the game, but I think, you know, when it's all said and done, he's probably going to have a rough outing this week. But I still think the Eagles owe it to themselves to see what they have in Jalen Hurts.
I got questions. So do they, though? Because they just gave that boy Carson Wentz a ridiculous contract. Have you seen the amount of money they owe him and the cap hit that if he's not on the team? What do they find out? So they just got a overpaid fool on their bench? Like, even if Jalen Hurts plays well and they trade him, the cap hit is ridiculous over these next 2 years if he's no longer on the team. So I think maybe you want to kind of find out about that, about Jalen, like, behind the scenes. But I don't know how much it does to find out about it on the field, because even if he becomes that guy, look how much of your cap space is now sitting on the bench and everybody knows it. And I'm not giving you a damn thing for Carson Wentz, even if I like him. Even if I think my quarterback coach is the best quarterback coach out there and we can remake him like the $6 million man, I'm not going to give you anything for him, because that's messing you up. I'm going to let you keep that on your team and that dynamic and your salary cap completely trashed if I'm other teams. But the other piece of that is that Carson Wentz has to take some of the blame for the way that he's playing. But let's not be naive to the fact that the only team whose offensive line is in worse shape than Philadelphia's is the Dallas Cowboys and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Philadelphia offensive line has gotten racked by injuries. They can't run the ball. Who wants any of their skill position players? Jalen Reagor is looking like a bust, especially when you see the way Justin Jefferson is playing for Minnesota. They pass over Justin Jefferson to get to Reagor. Jackson can't stay hurt. You're waiting on Alshon Jeffery to get back. He looks like he can't, outrun a body, one of our grandpas. Like, he can't get off the line of scrimmage to get away from no cornerback.
Nobody.
What would you have Carson Wentz do with no protection up front, so they can't run the ball? He's got no playmakers outside the tight ends, but everybody in the free world knows they want to run a two tight end set, and they're going to keep those safeties on them, because guess what? I ain't got to worry about protection over the top. I ain't got to worry about coming downhill in this running game. So I can worry about Goddard. Ertz has missed half the year with a high ankle sprain. What would you have Carson Wentz do? You want him to, make, wine out of water, and I get it. He's missed some throws, don't get me wrong. But nobody wants their offensive skill set positions. Nobody wants their offensive line right now. The reason you put Jalen Hurts is because the offensive line is so bad, maybe Jalen Hurts can run away from the pressure and not get hurt and maybe make something. That's why you put Jalen Hurts in the game, because Carson Wentz is not that guy to to run like Jalen Hurts is. Jalen Hurts is a legit dual-threat quarterback that can get outside the pocket and get it done with his legs. Carson Wentz can scramble and make things happen. He might pick up a first down on 3rd and 7. Jalen Hurts can go for 23 yards. That's the reason you put him in there when the play breaks down. But I'm not looking at Jalen Hurts to come out and start throwing for 320 yards. You're looking for Jalen Hurts to probably run for 120 yards and throw for maybe 200 and keep himself out of harm's way. But I'm not going to kill Carson Wentz to say, you know, I think the situation in Philadelphia has deteriorated so bad that he's lost confidence in himself. And that's a reflection on him as well, and I would give you that. But I just don't understand when people look at that and say that Philadelphia is giving Carson Wentz everything that he needs to succeed, and he's just not succeeding. That Philadelphia offensive situation is terrible.
Yeah.
Well, there have been a lot of good quarterbacks in the league that have played on shitty teams with shitty offensive lines that just somehow found a way, not necessarily to win, but at least be competitive. You know, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson got Lockett and Metcalf.
No, I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about previous, last few years, Russell Wilson. I mean, Metcalf just coming into his own this year. I'm not talking about this year's Seattle team, but Russell Wilson has had some horrible offensive lines here the last couple of years in Seattle. Like, not talking about this year's team, even though I don't know what's going on with them right now. They've not been looking that great here the last three or four weeks.
The Giants may look inept. Giants got monsters on that their defensive line.
Yeah.
Some real life
monsters.
Those are some great points.
The point I was really trying to make is I think what's going to happen is Jalen Hurts is going to do just enough to put even more doubt in Carson's head, and you're stuck with the guy. Just like what you said, I was pointing at you, JQ, because you're taking the words right out of my mouth. People are going to say, no, you're stuck with them. You're stuck with that, you know, that 30-plus million guy that is, you know, carrying the clipboard now and maybe even afraid of that. So you've only got a couple of years. You've got a couple of rookie years with this other quarterback, and you're just hoping that at some point down the road you may be able to peddle him off to someone as a backup quarterback. Because I don't think that unless they get some guru into some like Tony Robbins or someone that get him in there and perform his, you know, a miracle on his psychic, I think this is who he's going to be.
Well,
that's Tony Robbins.
There's another avenue.
Tony Robbins is going to be there.
There's another avenue here. I think Philip Rivers. I think Philip Rivers and Pissett are coming off the books in Indianapolis, and so maybe they can Carson. You know, we get rid of those two salaries there. We might can fit Carson in. Not all of that money. Philadelphia, you're going to have to come up with some of it.
But I'm going to say this here, too. You know, obviously, you know, JQ makes some really good points, and those are all true in regards to the offensive personnel and the offensive line. We've talked about that and things of that nature. But if Philadelphia, if they get to the point where they just don't feel like Carson Wentz is not the answer, we've seen this happen several times before in the NFL. You're just going to eat that money and take your losses. It won't be the first team that's made a bad decision. It won't be the last. And they'll just have to take their lumps, and they may have to go with a young quarterback on a low salary for a while. But we've seen that happen before in this league. We've seen teams have bad contracts, and they get out of it. Mm-hmm. And they would just have to eat their losses and manage the cap as best they can as far as personnel-wise going forward. And we've seen NFL teams maneuver this cap. And somehow you always wonder, how do they do that? But the cap is so large. Now, obviously, we're in this COVID environment. There's a lot of talk about the cap may come down. But, shucks, we thought the same thing about the NBA. You've seen the players, the money they've been dishing out? I mean, these guys get max deals, 5-year, $190 million left and right. I mean, yeah, it don't look like the cap came down in the NBA. But they can get out of that contract if they want. If they feel like he's not the guy, we've seen it happen before in this league. And, I mean, will they make that decision after the season? You know, that'll be determined. And, you know, maybe they wait another year, but they can get out of that contract and maneuver the cap where they can.
They have to wait another year. When I saw it, it goes down, I think, by about, I think it was like 13 to 15 million if they wait after this year. But this year coming up, they can't do it, because what you talk about with that is that even if you do that and you eat it, but all the other teams that have a decent guard rookie quarterback on that rookie scale, they can take those savings and plug it to other parts of the team, and you can't do that right now with Carson Wentz on there. So I still feel like Jalen may end up giving them the best chance to win, but are you giving Jalen his best chance to win when you have that much tied up on a dude holding the clipboard? And then does that shininess start to wear off where he gets a whole season under his belt now, and now he has to deal with all the same problems that Carson Wentz had to deal with? And because you have to eat that money for that year, is sitting there locked up in him, does Philadelphia then turn on Jalen by week six the next year? It's like, we thought he was good. At the end of next year, he gave us the spark. Now we don't have the spark going into 2021. I hate that for Jalen Hurts. Like, you set him up for failure by letting him inherit the same problems that Carson Wentz has. So maybe you nail your draft and you get him an offensive lineman and another wide receiver. Then, now you make Rieger the number two instead of the number one. Like, there are things I guess you could do, but that puts a lot of pressure on that brass that's not made a lot of great decisions to nail this draft for Jalen Hurts. And that's the only thing I can see having to make this situation more tenable for him. Not this year. This year's a wrap. Just go ahead and throw it away for next year.
So ugly.
Nice.
So ugly.
Well,
so happy.
It's been a good night. So I'm gonna let you guys wrap up with the last topic that you want to talk about, and we'll wrap up this issue. So we'll kind of go around Curtis, Gary, JQ, and let Rob do it and kind of end the show too. So go ahead. Any topic is yours.
Well, Curtis and I were talking about the Oregon football team and losing their ass. And Curtis, what do you got to say about that?
What also caught my attention, and I got a few crazy friends here that are total Timber fans.
Your ass.
So after I got finished, like I said, for me, the Cowboys are starting to become unwatchable. But I did watch the end of that game, and I switched it to the MLS. And when I switched it to the MLS, there was 20 minutes left. Minnesota had Seattle down 2-0. And then Seattle, with 15 seconds left and 4 minutes of overtime, came back and scored 3 goals on them.
Wow.
So they're playing in the championship game on Saturday, which messed up Fox, because Fox was hoping to have Ohio State, Michigan. And then after Ohio State, Michigan, they were going to put on the MLS game, which is going to be the Columbus Crew. I've never seen the Columbus Crew play this year. I have no idea what the Columbus Crew has. And they're going to be playing Seattle, with Seattle being the team that won last year's MLS Cup. But my point was, my two crazy Timber friends, I texted them, and I go, did you guys see Seattle's comeback on Minnesota? And I got back from my two friends, F-U-C-K Seattle. F-U-C-K Seattle.
Wow. That's hilarious. That's funny. Yeah, no, I'm not a Columbus Crew fan because, FC Cincinnati, Columbus Crew, they've been going at it since they were in that minor league division right before they both got pushed up to the MLS. So, I've got some crazy Ohio allegiances, but I definitely don't root for the Columbus Crew. So let's go Seattle. I hope y'all kick their butt. I don't really have anything else outside of what happened. We kind of touched on the things that were, close to me. I get it. I hope the Ohio State beats Northwestern. I tell you what, Ohio State has got to hope that they can slide into that 3 seed, even if it means playing Clemson, Notre Dame, or Clemson again, because what they really don't want in that first round is Alabama. I'm going to be honest about it. Alabama looks a whole tier ahead of everybody else in college football. And it's not from any bias I hear living in the Southeast. When you watch Mac Jones and them boys play and Najee Harris play football and they're starting to figure out on the defensive side of the ball, Alabama is the real deal. And I know we don't like it, but we got to be objective. They got to find a way out of that four slot. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But they got to find a way. And I think they're going to hold that number of games against them in terms of moving them up, unless something wild happens in that ACC title game where somebody just blows the other one out completely. But if it's another different tuck kind of game and they get locked into that four seed, ooh, it's going to be tough for your boy living here in the Southeast. Unless we win that game.
Yeah, Devonta Smith, man, I tell you, the wide receiver, another player from right outside of Baton Rouge, and he goes to Alabama. Dumbasses letting the guy get out of the state.
Habitual line stepper.
Too many. He's got about five or six elite players on their team, all from Louisiana. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I'll just close out briefly with top 32 here. You know, it's posted on our Facebook, not Facebook, Facebook page. Must
baseball.
Be getting late. Yeah.
That's basketball.
Top three hasn't changed. Obviously, still got Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon, Gregory Rousseau, the edge rusher from Miami. I got him in the fourth spot. You know, he did opt out of the season, is not playing. But from all indications, he is killing it in the workouts. And the scouts are loving it. And obviously, he was an elite pass rusher last season. And that's one of the things you need. And in the National Football League, you need a quarterback. You need an elite left tackle if you're a right-handed QB. And you need elite pass rushers and you need corners, right? So Gregory Rousseau is going to be a guy to really watch in this draft. Biggest move is Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida. I got him all the way up to number five. He might be the best pass catcher in this draft. From a tight end perspective, I think it's going to be really interesting to see him against Alabama and Kyle Trask in the SEC championship game. And that's what the scouts are going to be looking for, right? Those are the type of matchups that they're going to want to see, you know, because that's going to be his closest competition to NFL talent, right? And so that's going to be a big matchup for both him and Kyle Trask here in that game. And, you know, speaking of Kyle Trask, I got him number 15 overall here, and the number five quarterback in the draft. I got Zach Wilson, number eight overall. Got Trey Lance, number 13 overall. Got Kyle Trask, number 15 overall. Another guy that moved up quite a bit, Jalen Phillips, the current edge rusher from Miami. Has been outstanding. Be a great matchup to watch him this weekend against North Carolina and Sam Howell and their offense to see what kind of impact that he has. I like Miami in that matchup too. De'Ara King. You know, Sam Howell, North Carolina, offensively they've been pretty good, but they have not looked great in the big games this year, particularly Notre Dame shut them down in the second half, and I think Miami will be able to do the same thing this weekend and hold on to beat them as well. So he'll be a guy to watch, you know, if you're watching that game this weekend here. Devonta Smith, number 17, who I just talked about and made me curse. I apologize about that. The Louisiana kid, let him kill Alabama. Number 17. Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive tackle from USC, has really shined. USC's only played, what, about five or six games themselves. Pac-10 started really late. But there's a few USC players that's really come out and playing really well. Amon Ross St. Brown, wide receiver from USC, he's played outstanding. Jay Tufele, defensive tackle from USC, has been outstanding, got him 21 overall. So we got a few USC players here that have made it into the top 32 based on their performance so far this season in these ball games here. Mac Jones got him in there in the top 32. And Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle. Alabama still has the most players in his top 32, which makes sense with him being number one overall.
I need that big boy from Oregon. I need that big joker as my left tackle. I'm interested to see as this goes on what happens with Desmond Ridder, the quarterback from Cincinnati. And I know I've been closer to it. You know, both my parents went to UC. Watching his development, you know, from a freshman to right now and having Cincinnati at 8-0 and him being able to be draft eligible after this year, he's actually a really decent dual-threat college quarterback. I don't know how that's going to translate to, you know, him being drafted an NFL draft, and depending on what he does, you know, against Tulsa, and if they mess around and make the top, you know, that group of six did. But we talked about him. I don't know how you keep Coastal Carolina out of that group, given they got the best win of all the group of six teams by beating BYU. So, you know, I'm really interested to see as we talk moving forward what happened with Desmond Ridder moving up. I don't know if he makes the first round, but I think I could see him going in the second, maybe third round, where I think he was at best a sixth or seventh round pick coming into the season.
Good call, gentlemen. Just really quick, I know we're wrapping this up. You guys have been amazing. Thank you for the awesome time. Shout out to my cousin in Germany, Adidas. We were able to secure Trae Young for a signature shoot for the Hawks, so that's a big time too. So stay on the lookout for that too, man. So that's just really cool that they have a signature shoe that's going to be actually, you probably see that in future, that they got a shoe that he's actually designing for Adidas, man. That's pretty cool from that perspective too. So
nice.
So excited about that as well. So, all right, Rob, go ahead and end this show, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had another great show on tonight. We're going to be back on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Sorry I had to go out on a little rant. Andre, his behavior has been rubbing off on me, so I apologize to you all. We're going off on a rant. But, hey, you know, I'm a foodie. So, to our listeners, how do you like your French fries? Shoestring, crinkle, steak, curly, wedge, or waffles? Let us know.
Wow.
That's a good question.
Waffle fries?
Waffle.
Yeah. Those waffle fries. Yeah. I like
that. They probably will help
you. I like them all.
Well, we know.
It doesn't matter. Dude, this actually, you know what? You brought that up. There is a good question, and it reminded me of you whenever you talk about the Commodores, JQ. There was one singer that used to sing on Motown who tried out for the Detroit Lions. You guys know who that is?
Who is it?
You guys know? Any guesses? Famous Motown singer that actually tried out for the Detroit Lions. It was Marvin Gaye.
What?
No,
yeah.
Man, you get out of here.
Looked at it, I was tripping out. Yeah,
Marvin Gaye did not try
what?
Out for the Detroit Lions.
Look, I'm gonna put it in the chat. I'm gonna put it in the chat. It's literally check this out. Hold on. I'm gonna put this in chat since you over here lying. You think I'm over here Marvin Gaye tryouts for the Lions? For the Lions. Yep, it's actually right here. Here it is. He actually. That's in the chat here. 2 seconds here. Boom. Look in the chat.
Wow.
Well, I told you, that was some of the fun times when I was little and being around the military bases and seeing some of these guys getting out of the military and getting in shape to try out for different football teams. When I was a young person, and how excited they were and how hard they worked to try to make these football teams. I knew that was some kind of thing that you could do back in the day. I don't know if those days still exist today.
Wow. That's wow.
Yep. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting thing. Yep.
That's a great trivia question. I don't think a lot of people know that.
There
you go. That's all I got. So I don't want you talking any ish that I know a lot of times we Rob's trying to like get me, but all good. All right, Rob.
Fellas, I sent all of y'all a little something.
Wait a minute.
So if y'all get a surprise gift
wait.
In the mail, you know.
Thanks, Rob.
Just put it in the back burner. Just put this in the back burner. But if the moons collide and everything works out with RVs and the VA got me a van that can carry my wheelchair, and it's a pretty big van that can carry a lot of people. If the moons collide, all of us, I want us to try to Super Bowl week. Even if we don't get a ticket to the game, we're going to all try to be down in Tampa on Super Bowl week, even if we have to drive big vehicles from here. If
wow.
we can do it. Keep it in the back of your mind.
Swing by and pick everybody. Swing by and pick everybody up.
Pick everybody.
But guess what? No smart mouth in me in my vehicle, JQ.
Well, I'm driving myself then.
Yeah.
You know, JQ's going to be on you by Andy Dalton if he's in the car with you, man.
Oh, yeah. The whole time, man. The whole
yeah, we're going to try. I'm going to try.
Hey.
And I'm
that,
gonna,
that
and
would
I'm
be fun if you
I'm
out
gonna
here.
Try
no,
to
come
have
down,
a,
man.
I'm going to try to have enough money to make us all comfortable. And, you know.
The Tampa Bay area is nice. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it down there.
Yeah.
Been there multiple
I'll
times.
Be back in that area. I'll be back in that area soon, Rob. Don't worry about that. You'll be seeing me down there. We still got a
Gary,
place in Orlando.
I got two
Orlando.
Buddies on my team that I used to work with, huh?
Yeah. Who you got down there?
Daniel and
I think you got more than that because you got people from, you got a couple from Portland. One of them's a golf buddy of mine, and then you got about three or four, I think, from the Orlando. He used to work with in Orlando.
I have two from Portland. They told me they know you.
Yeah, and you've got And you've got three or four from Orlando as well, I think. Former
probably
Orlando
do.
Employee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You said you were mean as a junkyard dog down there too. Really. I haven't spoken with him for a while.
If we're all working. If we
hey,
all,
they surprised
at
how fast
working,
I learned all their names.
Right.
I wanna say if we're all working. I congratulate all of you guys. I think that is so fantastic. If you're still working, I really appreciate it. I'm really glad that you were able to survive this mess.
Appreciate
it's really hard to still be working right now with this mess we're dealing with. Keep working. Keep working.
We got to get off the phone because Andre has had no sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's looking like a zombie right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm
tired. You got to get some rest, and Curtis and I are going to we're gonna watch the 5 o'clock news, and then we'll
I'm still young for y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have our tapioca pudding and more milk and go to bed.
Well, Portland, but Portland now at the time of year, it's dark at 4:15 in the afternoon.
I know. But here in the summer, y'all got long days. The sun don't go down almost 10 o'clock at night in the summer.
I love it. I love it. All right,
good
gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, people.
Have a good evening.
Bye, people.
Get some rest.
Good night.
Y'all be safe.
See y'all later.